Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You are now listening to the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele.
Good. This is indeed the Calcio Corner podcast, where we cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this, the 44th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. Please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Be sure to give me a follow on Twitter. My account is at Italiano Calcio. Check out the link in my Twitter bio that has all the links you will need to help support and listen to my podcast. All right, guys, so you already know that Manscaped are an official sponsor of the Calcio Corner podcast. Manscaped are the absolute best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you with the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped and their products are trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. So what are you waiting for to jump on board? And I have an exclusive offer for all my listeners of the Calcio Corner podcast. You can get 20% off plus free shipping, but you got to use the promo code Calcio Corner at manscaped.com. That's one word, no spaces. The code is Calcio Corner. That's C-A-L-C-I-O Corner. You can go to their site and order some of the great products right now as you are listening to this podcast. One product that I would highly recommend is their Perfect Package 3.0. Manscaped has created the absolute best below-the-waist hair trimmer ever, the Lawnmower 3.0. You get that Lawnmower 3.0 in their Perfect Package. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. In addition, this trimmer comes with an LED light for more precise shave. And what I think is the best part, what I think is the best feature on this Lawnmower 3.0 is that it's waterproof to make your shower shave clean and nice and easy. The Lawnmower 3.0, as I mentioned, it comes inside their beautiful brand new Perfect Package 3.0, which comes with every single thing you need to keep trim, cut free, and smelling nice down there. Get 20% off plus free shipping by using the code CALCIOCORNER at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code CALCIOCORNER at manscaped.com. The link and promo code and all the information you need can be found in the description of this podcast, so check it out right now while you're listening. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code CALCIOCORNER at manscaped.com. Believe me, you won't regret this decision. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. So we will start off this 44th episode of the podcast by looking at the recent action from round 26 in Serie A, and we will examine it by looking at my 5 takeaways, my 5 points from this weekend. My first point has to be Juve's big 3-1 win over Lazio. This was really a big statement win for Juventus, in my opinion. Probably one of the bigger wins for Andrea Pirlo as a coach. I know it's a very short time that he's been a coach, obviously, but this has to be one of his bigger marquee wins, in my opinion, beating Lazio. As I said, it was 3-1. They fell behind 1-0 early. It was Joaquin Correa who got Lazio out to the early lead in the 14th minute. And then it was pretty much, you know, Juve fighting back afterwards. Lazio actually played, all in all, a solid game. So perhaps it was a little unfair in some ways that they ended up losing this game. But I do think in the end, Juve were the more deserving team to pull this one out 3-1. So not only did Juve have to come from behind 1-0, they also did this without Cristiano Ronaldo starting. He was given some rest ahead of their big midweek game in the Champions League against Porto, where they have to reverse that fixture. But this was a good win for Juve, as I said, falling behind, doing it without Ronaldo. One thing I wanted to touch upon was the questionable refereeing decisions in this game, two in particular, and both happening, you know, fairly early on in that first half of the game. There was an incident where Wesley Hote, the Lazio defender, looks like he clearly extended his arm, and it was clearly a handball and should have been a penalty awarded to Juve, and the penalty was not given. And perhaps what was more perplexing to me is that VAR didn't intervene. And now, again, we don't know if maybe VAR did look at it and just didn't tell the referee to go look at it himself and review it himself and make a decision. Perhaps VAR told the ref himself themselves that, you know, there is no need to review this. It's no penalty. But whether or not VAR intervened or not, the fact that VAR didn't overturn this or at least have the referee give this one a second look is totally puzzling to me, because I think even the biggest Juve hater, even the most diehard Lazio fan, would have to admit that that should have been a handball, should have been a penalty awarded to Juve. And at the time, again, Lazio were winning 1-0, and certainly, you know, Juve are chasing the one goal and whatnot. There's pressure building on them, so that penalty, there's no guarantee you convert it, but that penalty would have been massive for Juve at the time, at that moment. And then not too long after, in this first half also, Alessandro, he gave a forearm to the back of a Lazio player. I forget which Lazio player it was. And it certainly, when you looked at it on replay, there, it looked like there was some malicious intent behind it. I'm not saying Alessandro was out to, you know, take off this Lazio player's head, but he certainly hit him in the back of the head with his forearm, and it looked like he kind of, you know, put a little push and a little effort and a little strength behind that forearm to the back of the head. And the fact that he got no yellow card, no card at all, he probably should have got a red card and sent off, in my opinion. But once again, VAR did not intervene. They did not have the referee look at this again and make a decision. So it was really just weird how VAR did not intervene at all. And if, I guess if you believe in karma and things balancing themselves out in the world, I know there's a lot of Juve fans upset they didn't get that penalty, so perhaps this kind of balanced it out by Alessandro, fortunately for Juve fans, not getting that red card and getting sent off, because Lazio would have played a heavy amount of that game Juve would have played a heavy amount of that game down a man, and that certainly would hinder their chances of perhaps, you know, emerging victorious against a pretty dangerous attacking Lazio side. But again, they win 3-1. Alvaro Morata coming up big, scoring two goals. His second was a penalty. And as I mentioned, they did this without Cristiano Ronaldo, who was getting some rest ahead of the Porto game. But at the time when he came on, that score was already 3-1. There was about 25 minutes left. I mean, I know you can't totally rule out a potential Lazio comeback. You don't want to take anything for granted. But I was a little shocked that perhaps Pirlo put Ronaldo on with about 25 minutes left, as I said, just because you had an opportunity here to give Ronaldo a full game off, a full rest ahead of that game against Porto. I mean, I'm sure Ronaldo, obviously, he wanted to play. He always wants to play. We know he's in unbelievable shape, and I'm not saying he can't handle this workload, but you had a 3-1 lead. It wasn't like it was only 2-1. It wasn't only 1-1. You weren't trailing in this game. So with a two-goal cushion, 25 minutes or so by the time Ronaldo came on, left in the game, I would have personally given Ronaldo the full game off, but as I mentioned, I'm sure Ronaldo was itching to get on, and perhaps this was just the plan all along. He was always set to come on around the 65th minute or so and get a few minutes out there. But me personally, as I said, I would have given him the full rest. But if you look at Lazio, if you look at this game from a Lazio perspective, as I said, Juve, massive win, really big win for them. This was a good result for Juve, in my opinion. One of the bigger results for them all season, as I mentioned, one of the biggest results, I think, for Pirlo in his young coaching career. But Lazio, they've been in a little bit of a rough stretch. They've lost three games in a row now, when you go back to their loss against Bayern in the Champions League. They lost midweek against Bologna. That was a bad loss. And now this loss against Juventus. And now they're starting to, you know, fall a little bit behind in that, you know, battle for the top four. If you recall, a few weeks ago, they lost to Inter in a game where they played really well and probably should have at least came out of that game with a draw, but ended up losing to Inter. And that ended their really strong run they were in. I think they were on like a 6 or 7 game win streak when they lost to Inter. And ever since that Inter loss, they really haven't looked the same and haven't been able to bounce back and get themselves on track. So we'll see what Simone Inzaghi can do to try to turn this Lazio team around. And when you think about, you know, they're battling obviously for a top four position. They're obviously battling for the Champions League spot next season. Those four Champions League spots, as I talk about so often on this podcast, it's so wide open. And it seems that it almost changes week to week, round to round, in terms of like what teams we think is going to sneak in that maybe that third or fourth spot. And it seems like there's always like perhaps a new flavor of the month. As I mentioned, when Lazio were winning those 6 or 7 games in a row, they were, you know, the talk of the town. It seemed like, oh yeah, Lazio, they could challenge perhaps for even for the Scudetto, or they're definitely going to finish top four. And now they're on a little bit of a skid. Atalanta have now emerged as, you know, a team that's been really winning and playing really well. And now it looks like Atalanta are locked to finish in the top four. So it seems like, you know, that Champions League race is constantly changing. It's a very dynamic situation. Perhaps the only guarantee is Inter going to finish in the top four, and then perhaps it's a crapshoot for positions 2, 3, and 4. But we've got to see if Lazio can turn this around. But again, massive win for Juve. That was my first point from this weekend. All right, my second point from this weekend has to be Milan's big 2-0 win over Verona. You can argue that you know, I know I said Juve's win over Lazio was a massive win for them and one of their bigger wins, I think, all season. But you could also argue, I think, that this Milan win over Verona might be, you know, as big a win this season as any for Milan. They were missing some key players, obviously, with injuries. Rebic was out. They were without, obviously, Zlatan. They'll be without him for a little bit. Missing so many key players. They've really been hit hard with the injuries. But, you know, the players that did step, that were in the lineup, that did play, they stepped up big. And you can argue that, you know, this side has really been struggling a bit. They have not been playing as well. There's a lot of pressure, you know, kind of mounting on this Milan team, and people started to write them off as Scudetto contenders and doubting whether or not they could catch Inter, and a lot of people thinking that, you know, Juve in time would eventually overtake Milan for second place. And I've even criticized this Milan team at times on this podcast, saying that, you know, perhaps they might, you know, if this thing continues to spiral the way it's kind of been going over the past few weeks, the past month or so, that you could potentially see them drop out of the top four, which would just be absolutely catastrophic. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but, you know, you could have seen a scenario where that was possible. So to get this win over Verona, I think, was super big for the Rossoneri. Obviously, Verona are a really tough side. We know how they have fared really well against the top teams in Italy this season. So, you know, it's not like Verona were playing a team in Milan where they were, you know, so overmatched, and they have this poor record against these top teams. Verona have gotten it done against the big boys in Italy. And the fact that Milan were able to pull this 2-0 win out, missing so many key players, I think was just a phenomenal win for them. And when you consider that they already knew Juve had won the day before over Lazio, as I mentioned, they were literally right behind Milan. And, you know, you could almost, as I said, see them potentially jumping Milan for second place. So, you know, a Milan loss would have crippled them. I don't even think a draw against Verona would have helped to ease some of the pressure that I feel has been building on this Milan side. So, massive win for them. This was, in some ways, as I said, perhaps a must-win for the Rossoneri, because, as I said, a loss and a draw, I don't think, definitely a loss, but I don't even think a draw would have eased some of the pressure. And to do so without a full team, I just have to give a lot of credit to Stefano Pioli's side, to this Rossoneri team, for responding and getting what I think is one of their biggest wins this season over a very good, a very tricky Verona side, beating them 2-0. So kudos to the Rossoneri. That was my second point from this weekend. All right, my third point from this weekend has to be Inter's massive win over Atalanta. And if you haven't already noticed the theme, at least for my first 3 points now, it's all about these big wins by these teams. Juve was my first point. Milan getting that big win over Verona were my second point. Now Inter beating Atalanta 1-0. Atalanta coming into this game were, as I've said on Twitter a few times, playing like the second best team. And I feel in some ways, and I don't mean this as a disrespect to Milan, who have, you know, been in first place for most of the season and now have been in second. They have not fallen out of those top two positions all season. I feel Atalanta are the second best team in Italy, given their form from start of the season to where they currently are. They've just been super consistent this season, Atalanta. And for Inter to beat them 1-0 to shut out a dangerous offensive team like Atalanta is a big statement. Conte's team is really tightening things up defensively. You could just see in this game and in many other games just how many, you know, players on this Inter team, they get back to defend. They're well organized. They're an impenetrable defense. You can't penetrate through this team defensively. Handanovic has really come to life and is kind of turning back the clock, and he made a massive save in this game. He's kind of looking more like that old Handanovic that we've become accustomed to at Inter over the past few seasons, over most of his career at the club. So this was a big win for Conte's team. Pushes their lead back to 6 points over Milan. Obviously, Inter, knowing since they played on Monday that Milan had won, Juve had won, they needed to go out and get 3 points and facing a very tough Atalanta side. So big win for Inter. If anyone had any doubt that Inter were hands down the Scudetto favorite, and as I've said many times, I picked them to win preseason. They're going to win the Scudetto. I do not see them blowing a six-point lead to Milan. I don't see them blowing their lead against Juve. I don't see them blowing the lead against anybody. I thought that if Atalanta could have stole 3 points from Inter in this game, maybe, just maybe, that could leave that door open for Inter to perhaps blow this. But after this win, it just confirms to me that the Scudetto is over. Inter are going to end Juve's drought. That's a given. Inter will win that the trophy. Conte will hoist that Scudetto trophy, and Inter will end their big title drought. And when you consider some of these results, Atalanta losing, Lazio losing, and with Napoli beating Bologna, it's certainly shaped up to be a good weekend for the Neapolitan club. They, you know, of course, are battling with teams like Lazio, with Atalanta, with Roma. even Juve for those top four spots. So the fact that Napoli picked up 3 points, meanwhile Lazio dropped points, Atalanta dropped points, that puts, you know, Napoli just 3 points behind Roma for fourth place. Atalanta can't increase their lead over Napoli. Napoli just 2 points behind them now. So, you know, for all the criticism that Napoli have been getting this season, and rightfully so, it's definitely been justifiable. Keep in mind that this Napoli team has more points at this point at the season than they did last year. So Gattuso's been doing a good job with them. Imagine if this team were playing more consistently, they weren't dealing with some of the injuries in which they've had to deal with. You know, just imagine perhaps where this club could be. Unfortunately for them, Fazi Gulam, who they just got back, he ended up suffering an ACL injury. So, you know, more injuries to their defense. They've already been without Koulibaly for a time. They've been missing Manola. So the injuries in their defense continue to rack up. But big win for Inter, big wins for Milan, big wins for Juve this weekend. Shaped up to be a really good weekend for Napoli as well. That's kind of a summary of my first 3 points so far from this weekend. All right, my fourth point from this weekend has to be, unfortunately for Parma, more heartbreak for them and their fans. They draw 3-3 against Fiorentina. They were leading 3-2 with like a minute left in this game. And Jacopone, he scores an own goal to give Fiorentina the third goal, give them that equalizer. And again, as I said, the score ended 3-3. Parma so close to another 3 points, and yet they have to settle for one. I mean, man, your heart just has to break for this Parma side. Now, look, they need to be better, right? They need to finish these games out. They've played poorly pretty much this entire season, so they've put themselves in this position, you know, where they are in some serious danger of being relegated. And after Crotone's win this weekend over Torino, they're just 1 point ahead of Crotone. So it's Parma with 16 points, Crotone with 15. So they're certainly not helping themselves out. Parma, you know, pretty much only have themselves to blame, but they have been so close recently to getting 3 big points a few times. Obviously this game against Fiorentina, as I mentioned, the last second own goal by Jacopone to get Fiorentina that draw and cost Parma 2 points. They were also up midweek 2-0 against Spezia, and they allowed them to score 2 second half goals. So Parma had to settle for a point in that game. And when you consider Spezia are one of those teams that, you know, I think considering how high we've all been on Vincenzo Italiano and how we've been impressed with this Spezia side, I don't think many of us think that they would be relegated. But they're certainly nowhere near clear of being relegated. So that was, you know, three points that they failed to capitalize on. Then the game before the Spezia game, they were up 2-0 against Udinese. Same thing, 2-0 lead in the first half. They allowed 2 second-half goals by Udinese, and Parma once again had to settle for a point. So when you look at their last 3 games in Serie A for Parma, that's 3 games in a row that they were so close and they could have earned 9 points, only ended up getting 3 of those 9 points. If they had 6 more points like they could have had, they're in obviously a much better position to try to fight off relegation. And, you know, there's been at least 1 or 2 other times this season where they have come very close to securing, whether it was 3 points or even 1 point, and blowing it late in the game. They're kind of shooting themselves in the foot recently, especially this game. Again, they had the 2-0 lead against Spezia, against Udinese in the first half. So there was still plenty of time left for the opposition to come back. And, you know, unfortunately for Parma, they allowed both of those teams to come back and get a point. But this game where there was literally a minute left, and not just to concede, but it to be an own goal by Jacopone, I mean, that's heartbreak for Parma. That's 2 points they left there on the table against a La Viola side that are equally struggling and equally perhaps in danger of being relegated. You know, so in some ways you could say perhaps perhaps Parma are starting to turn the corner. They're getting closer to perhaps getting that win in 3 points, but they're still coming up short. Roberto De Verza, he has to get his team to close out these games and not allow their opponents back in these games, and, you know, to stay composed for the full 90 and not blow things late. You know, and if they could, you know, maybe they could avoid relegation. As I mentioned, they're sitting with 16 points. They're, you know, 5-6 points clear of trying to get out of the relegation zone. Torino, they have a few games they have to make up that they missed due to COVID, so certainly some work to do for this Parma side. I do think Parma are going down, as I've mentioned. I think Crotone are going down. Cagliari have shown some life now since Semplici has taken over, 3 positive results in a row for Cagliari. So they're certainly making a case for why they could stay up in Serie A. Benevento, I think, and Spezia, 2 teams that certainly were, you know, popular picks to be relegated at the beginning of the season. But given how Spezia looked, given how Benevento played throughout the season, I think most of us, myself included, felt that they were good enough to stay up, and they perhaps could, but given their recent form lately, Spezia are in danger of you know, having to fight off relegation. Same thing with Benevento. Fiorentina find themselves in this unfortunate position again, as they did last season. No one expected them to be in danger of being relegated last season. I think no one expected them to do it again this year. Yet here they are after 26 rounds, you know, no more than 6 points clear of the relegation zone. So there certainly are a few teams that are out of the relegation zone right now that are still in danger of it. So Parma, there is an opening for Parma to get out of this, and they've been showing some more fight lately under Diversa, but still another heartbreaking draw for them. Jacopone, last second own goal to allow Fiorentina to get a 3-3 draw. So that was my fourth point from this weekend. All right, my fifth and final takeaway from this weekend incorporates Sassuolo's 2-0 loss to Udinese and the potential future coach of Napoli. Now, we know that Napoli's, you know, the coach, the three coaches mostly linked to Napoli to take over this summer for Gattuso are De Zerbi, Ivan Juric, and Vincenzo Italiano. I've said in the past that, you know, Italiano is a guy that excites me. He's a guy that, as a Napoli fan, I would like to see come in and see what he could do with this level of talent compared to, you know, what he's been able to squeeze out of that talent he has at Spezia, which is very little and not that much at all. And I know Napoli have had their ups and downs this season, but they're a vastly, vastly superior team when it comes to a talent standpoint. So, you know, seeing what he could do with this level of talent, with these offensive-minded players, certainly intrigues me. But as I mentioned, Sassuolo lost 2-0 to Udinese. Now, Udinese have had their ups and downs this season. At times, they've looked like a good team. And certainly, they're a team that earlier on, if you remember some of the earlier episodes of this podcast during the season, I always said that, you know, Udinese was one of those teams that were underperforming, that, you know, the sum of their parts, the talent on that team certainly was greater than some of the results that they were getting and how they were being reflected in the standings. And, you know, they've had their moments this season, but they've certainly had their lows as well. Their positive moments and their low moments. Sassuolo, a team that I've called in the past an imposter team, a team that was mostly early on when they were, you know, towards the top of the table, in the top, you know, five teams or whatnot early on in the season, they were beating up on these lower level teams and struggling against the top teams in Serie A. Now we're starting to see Sassuolo drop points to these lower level teams, like in Udinese, losing 2-0. And, you know, that just brings me to the point that, again, De Zerbi's name has been linked to Napoli. I'm not saying he's a horrible coach. I'm not saying he's a bad coach. But I'm just saying, from what I'm seeing from this Sassuolo team that does have a good amount of talent, certainly more talent than Spezia. You could argue perhaps more talent than Verona, equal talent, pick your poison. Equally, okay, whatever. But what De Zerbi's getting out of the Sassuolo team, in my opinion, is not enough. He's not doing what Italiano's doing with Spezia. He's not squeezing every last ounce out of these players and every little bit of talent out of them. And I look at De Zerbi, who's supposed to be this offensive-minded coach, and, you know, seeing his side get shut out 2-0 against Udinese, who certainly are far from this stout defensive team, it makes me, as a Napoli fan, say, please, De Laurentiis, do not hire De Zerbi. Let him stay at Sassuolo. Let him go elsewhere if the club wants to move on from him. But do not bring in De Zerbi. I have not been impressed with him. I've not really been impressed with this Sassuolo team all season. You know, as I said, this Sassuolo team, it can't beat the top teams in Italy. I know if he came to coach Napoli, he'd be working with a totally different team, so it's not exactly apples to apples. But his record against these top clubs, it's not successful. It's not very good this season. Spezia, they've had some positive results against the top teams in Italy. We saw them beat Milan not too long ago. Italiano has impressed with this side. We all know what Ivan Juric has been able to do with Verona and their very impressive record against the top teams in Italy. And I know they just lost to Milan, as I mentioned, but you can't win all the time, right? You're not always going to beat these top teams, but Verona are punching well above their weight for a second straight season. So if I'm ranking these coaching candidates, in my opinion, I'm thinking Ivan Juric is number one for me to bring in at Napoli. Vincenzo Italiano would be my second choice. De Zerbi would be a very distant third. And this loss to Udinese, again, just reconfirms my belief that he's not ready to make that jump to coaching a big club like Napoli, where the expectation is to get into the Champions League, where the expectation should be to, you know, give a run at that Scudetto. I like I said, what Juric has been able to do against the top teams. He's been able to figure out how to handle teams like Juve, how to handle the likes of Milan, how to handle Atalanta, Lazio, these type of teams, even Napoli. And these are the teams that he has to fight for. If he's Napoli's coach, he has to fight against for a top four spot for that Scudetto. So the fact that he has some formula, he has success against those teams, he is my number one candidate to bring in for Napoli. But DeZerbi is as distant a third in terms of those three candidates that are most heavily being mentioned in the Italian media for this Napoli job. So again, that loss against Udinese was a bad one for Sassuolo. Got to give certainly Udinese credit, and Luca Gotti, he's done a nice job at times with this club, and Udinese certainly moving in towards like the top half of the table and clearing themselves of relegation danger, which was something that wasn't always going to be, you know, a certain thing at earlier points this season. So give Udinese credit. Sassuolo keep falling down that table, a team that at one point people were thinking of challenging for Europa League spot. But again, I've called them a pretender, a phony team, because they were feasting on those lower table teams, not getting it done against the top teams. Now they're starting to struggle against some of the lower teams. And it's just, again, no way would I want to see Napoli bring in De Zerbi. Give me Ivan Juric, give me Vincenzo Italiano, give me someone else. But do not bring in De Zerbi. This loss against Udinese just further confirms my doubts in his abilities to coach a top team like Napoli. So that is my fifth and final point from this weekend in Serie A. All right, now on to buy or sell to cover some of the storylines and rumors that have been dominating the Italian media and the world of football. Number one, buy or sell it, Mihailovic saying that this scoreline in Napoli's 3-1 win over Bologna was not a fair result of the game. I'm going to sell this one. I'm not really sure what game Mihailovic was watching. I have a lot of respect for him as a coach, and I don't know what game he was watching. Napoli definitely outplayed Bologna. Was it a significant difference to the point where Napoli totally blew away Bologna? No, but most of the chances that Bologna were creating, or at least quite a few of them, were created because of some of the sloppy play Napoli made defensively, some of the bonehead, mindless errors that Ospina was making in goal, which is just a topic for a whole other day. And I've said it before, and I'm not sure why Meret doesn't get more starts than he does. I think it's like a 50-50 split in terms of how many starts Ospina has made for Napoli, how many starts Meret has made. But a lot of those chances that Mihailovic was talking about was created or were created from the sloppy play defensively by Napoli, from the mistakes Ospina made, quite a few of them. One that led to a Palacio goal, but fortunately for Napoli, there was a foul called on Palacio to negate that goal. But again, I sell it. I don't know what Mihailovic was watching. Napoli definitely deserved this win. Again, they did not vastly outplay Bologna to the point where, you know, they were just dominating Bologna constantly, racking up shots on goal on Skorupski and whatnot. But Napoli definitely deserved this win. It was a big 3 points for Napoli, especially when you consider the upcoming games that they have. They have to play Milan, they have to play Juve in that makeup game, and they have to play Roma. Three critical games, three games that really could dictate whether or not this team could legitimately challenge for a top four spot. So I thought this win against Bologna was a must win for them. And they got those 3 points, 3-1 over Bologna, as I mentioned. Lorenzo Insigne played outstanding, the captain coming up big, scoring two goals for Napoli. And when you consider, you know, what transpired midweek, that 3-3 draw against Sassuolo, and we also saw the video I tweeted out on Twitter where Insigne was very upset with his team at the end, conceding that late equalizer to Sassuolo, and you saw him walking off the field, kicking the water bottle, cursing out his teammates, and calling them a piece of you-know-what and whatnot. There, you know, the issue was resolved, you know, according to Napoli. Lorenzo Insigne addressed his teammates and whatnot. They all cleared the air. And I thought it was really important, not just for the whole team to come out and put out a good performance against Bologna and get this win, given some of the criticism and given some of the fallout from that Sassuolo game midweek. But in particular, I thought it was really important that Insigne had a strong game. And that's exactly what he did, scoring two goals and playing really great all around. And Napoli were winning 2-0. And it was good to see Osimhen score that second Napoli goal, his first goal since November. Ironically enough, his last goal, which did come, as I said, in November, was against Bologna. So two games against Bologna this season for Osimhen, two goals. So far early on in his very young Serie A career, and very limited given how much time he missed, Bologna are his preferred target or preferred opposition. But it was 2-0. Osimhen could have put away this game, made it 3-0. He missed a really good opportunity to make it 3-0. Roberto Soriano, a little while later, made it 2-1 Bologna, and you could kind of feel Bologna starting to gain a little momentum after that goal. For Napoli, fortunately, a few minutes later, Insigne scored a third goal, and from that moment on, it was pretty much over. So back to my original point in terms of Mihailovic being correct or incorrect about saying that the scoreline did not reflect the play on the field, and that Bologna were unfortunate to not come away with a point in this game, I think is a total farce. I sell this point. I'm not sure what Mihailovic is talking about. Again, Bologna did not get blown away by Napoli's performance, but at the same time, when I was watching this game, at no point at all that I think to myself, man, Bologna were robbed. They should have earned the point. They should have even won this game. Never. The entire time I'm watching this and watching this game play out, it just felt right that Napoli won. They definitely were the team deserving of those 3 points, which they came away with. All right, number two, buy or sell it. Juventus will overcome Porto and advance to the next round in the Champions League. I'm going to buy this one. I definitely know Juve are the more talented side than Porto, but obviously Porto can't be taken lightly given the fact that they were able to beat Juve 2-1 in that first leg in Portugal. But if you recall those two Porto goals, that first one came off of a mistake in the opening minute of the game, really caught Juve by surprise. Same thing with that second goal that came in the opening minute of the second half of the game. So, you know, Juve just obviously can't make any silly mistakes. They do have to play much more organized, much more composed, and not allow those silly mistakes, because obviously they could come back to bite them. But that late, you know, Chiesa away goal certainly puts Juventus in a better position to advance past Porto in the second leg this week in the Champions League. They're at home. They're in Italy. They're at their home stadium. All they need is a 1-0 win to advance, which you certainly think Juve is good enough to pull out a 1-0 win. As I touched upon earlier, they had a very big win over a good Lazio side that I think will help them with their confidence heading into this second leg against Porto. And when you consider that, you know, again, as I mentioned, who they were able to beat Lazio without in their lineup. They did not start Cristiano Ronaldo, so he's going to be very well rested heading into this second leg and motivated. Morata scoring 2 goals against Lazio. If he gets the chance to get a run out there against Porto, whether he starts or not, we'll see. Certainly that has to help his confidence. Chiesa is, you know, arguably Juve's best player right now, so he's playing full of confidence. But all in all, again, I just think that Juve are the better side. They have this big win against Lazio. I think they're primed and ready to beat Porto. I fully expect them to get through. Again, all they need is a 1-0 result. They just got to win. They have the away goal, which was massive, that Chiesa provided them in that first leg. So I'm buying this. I fully expect Juve to advance. And, you know, it could prove to be the only Italian team to advance. We know Lazio have an almost impossible task to reverse their 4-1 loss to Bayern. Atalanta, could they reverse that 1-0 loss to Real Madrid heading to the Bernabeu? Certainly they could. I'm not ruling out Atalanta by any means yet, but if I had to pick between those three Italian clubs left in the Champions League, who has the best shot at advancing to the next round, certainly my money is on Juve, but Atalanta could do it. But yes, I totally buy that. I expect Juventus to advance past Porto in the Champions League, this upcoming Champions League game midweek. So that will do it for the 44th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. Once again, please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Feel free to leave a rating and comment. That would be greatly appreciated to help us grow our content. And until next time, guys, ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.